Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us, and welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and each week, this show will address many ways of creating greater health, joy, and love for you and your family. We will introduce you to top professionals and talented authors who are working to make this world a better place for all of us. Now, I would really appreciate it if you could all do me a favor, okay? Take this seriously. Please forward at least one of our shows to your social media groups and to someone you know who can benefit from today's show. This is one powerful way that we can make a positive difference together. Now, before we get to our guests, I want you to know that I am grateful to all of you that take your precious time to listen to or watch this show. It's one of those things that when I get your comments, I get your questions, I get your reviews, and I get your suggestions. And those are the things that help us bring you what it is that we think that you want to hear. So please remember, this show exists for you. Now, I've got a free copy of the Attitude of Gratitude Journal. Okay, if you go to the website, you can get it. It's free. All that we ask is that you download your copy, give it 21 days, and comment on whatever platform you listen to us on what focusing on gratitude has meant to you and your family. Now, a quote, although not from the journal, it's by Gavin De Becker. Says intuition is always right in at least two important ways. It is always in response to something, and it always has your best interest at heart. Now, you can probably imagine our topic today is intuition. Our guest, Kim Chesney, is the author of Radical Intuition, a revolutionary guide to using your inner power. Now, this book has been described as a pioneering perspective on intuition as being the most valuable form of human cognition. A globally recognized innovation leader and the founder of Intuition Lab, Kim's work has been featured or supported by leading organizations, including SXSW Interactive, Carnegie Mellon University, Comcast, and Hewlett-Packard. Kim, welcome to Answers for the Family.
Hi, Alan. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to talk with you today.
Well, it is my pleasure. And as I had a chance to go through the book, and what I was realizing is I've always thought for many, many years that I have times in which it seems like my intuition is right on target. And I don't think that I've listen to it enough, or I just take it for granted. Is that kind of the way it is for a lot of people?
Yeah, I think that's the way it is for most people, actually. I think we've really been taught to focus so much on the thinking part of our minds that we sort of forgot about this other way of acquiring information, which is just receiving it intuitively. And it's sort of our knowing part of our mind. So part of the reasons why I wrote this book was really to raise awareness of the intuitive process and what it really was and how it's actually working in everybody at all times of the day for all occasions.
Well, I think it's very timely. I'm so glad that you wrote it, because I think that so many people are getting away from listening to their own intuition, and they're listening to every other piece of information that's floating around out there that I think is getting us away from the things that are important to us and that are really going to benefit us the most.
Absolutely. And that's sort of the core and the heart of this book, is really teaching us to recenter and reconnect with that truth within us, that inner voice, that inner mm-hmm. center, where all of this stuff that's happening out in the world, the illusions, the lies, the fake news, the judgments, the pressure from other people, all of the stuff that we're bombarded with every day that's telling us what's best, pulling back from that and reconnecting with what we know is best, which is that core and center of ourselves.
And one of the things I thought was very interesting, calling it radical intuition. So what is radical intuition and what makes it so revolutionary?
So when, you know, and it's funny, we talked about this when we were picking the name for the book, because there, you know, there was a lot of different ways we were thinking about going, but we really love this idea of reimagining intuition in a sort of radical way. So we wanted to move away from and kind of bring intuition out of the fringes, you know, move away from that sort of crystal ball and tarot card understanding of intuition, which is very much a part of intuition, but it's just a part of it, right? There's so much more out there that everyday people use. You know, you don't have to even be thinking about things in terms of our personal development or spirituality. It's very practical. It helps us in every way, whether we're making decisions or, you know, deciding, you know, what to do with our lives or our business, our relationships. So there's just so much on both a really ephemeral level and also a very practical level. So we wanted to put together this really sort of new package of intuition, understanding it from the full spectrum of what it is, all the way from at our core to how it actually moves and changes and changes our lives and the world.
Yeah. So in what ways do you believe that our society is going through an intuition revolution?
Yeah. So, you know, part of this idea of radical intuition is this rebalancing of our intuitive nature and our intellectual nature. You know, for centuries and for as long as, you know, recorded history, we've been focusing on the mind, right? We've been getting so smart, you know, we're so smart. But then suddenly, you know, so I work in technology. I've worked for 20 years in the technology industry. And, you know, some people at the beginning start thinking, oh, well, those are strange bedfellows, technology and intuition. But one of the reasons why I wrote this book was because in the technology sphere, and I'm working with some of the leaders of the biggest companies, the tech companies, innovators on this planet, and I start hearing them talk about intuition. And, you know, I wrote my first book on intuition about 15 years ago. And since then, I've seen such a shift. It started out really in those days, I was writing really for personal development, telling people that everyone has intuition, right? We just were just opening those doors that you didn't have to be like born with special superpowers to have it, right? But over the last 15 years, I've really seen intuition sort of coming out into the world in so many ways that are so empowering. People like Steve Jobs, huge champions of intuition, who went out there and basically founded Apple on these ideas of how important intuition is and created, changed the world by marrying his really, really smart brain with his really, really intuitive genius, right? So intuition is really that connection to our genius, to our higher awareness, to all of that stuff that's beyond the mind. So when we have them both working together, that's the recipe for extraordinary things.
Now, you mentioned that everybody has intuition, but can everybody develop it and make it better and make it work more for us?
Absolutely. Every single person has it and every person can get better at it. It's just about paying attention to it and becoming aware of it and conscious of it. I think for so long, most of us, like we kind of touched on in the beginning here, we're using our intuition sort of intuitively, right? We're not even aware we're using it. It's just kind of like going with it or things will happen and we won't really recognize what's at work. But starting to become aware of that and doing things to enhance it and create space for it in our life so it has a voice and it has a place instead of just pushing it back as like, okay, you know, something that doesn't really matter but maybe shows up once in a while. But instead saying, okay, it's every bit as important that I use my intuition when making this decision as when using my rational mind for making this decision. Because, you know, we have two sides of our brain and they're both equally as important. And it's really time for a reckoning to bring that other part back into our lives and our reality and our culture.
You know, I would love to see everybody use it more. Share a little bit on how, if we could get everybody focusing more on this, to where we wouldn't be listening so much to people that are out there literally telling us to not think and to do as they say and to be divisive and to be hateful. I mean, my intuition immediately as these things come out tells me to back away from whoever it is that's actually promoting that. You know, it's so how can we get more people if they develop their intuition to be able to do the same?
So, and then you really hit the nail on the head because intuition really is about breaking free from our conditioning. You know, we have been conditioned since we were very young to think certain things about ourselves, to think certain things about the world and our place in it. So part of this radical intuition and this turn back to ourselves and trusting ourselves over the world is this process of living our truth and being true to ourselves. You know, I put a post up on social media during the election that said, to be true to yourself is the most revolutionary act. That's a quote from the book. And it went totally viral. So it was the first thing I ever had that went viral, and everyone was sharing it, and everyone was like, I could tell that I hit a nerve, because this was something that today people realize. And I don't think we're alone in realizing that people out there sense that, you know, we need to shift to that inner voice, that inner unity, because intuition is all about unity. It is what rises above all of the divisiveness and labels and all the things that separate us and call us to recognize the commonalities between us and the connection between us and how we can all rise together. And that's what intuition's about. It's about breaking through to that next level and coming together as a world, as a people, to really evolve and change and become something better than we are right now.
Well, the movie Social Dilemma talks about how a lot of the big social media companies have tapped into things like this in a very negative way to profit from it. How can we get everybody to tap into that and fight it, I guess, would be the best way to approach it.
Yeah, intuition is definitely a counterpoint to that sort of information culture. And I talk a lot about the post-information age, and that's really where I see us going, is really, you know, we have all this information and data out there, and we're going to have to start setting boundaries for ourselves. And, you know, the current situations of life with the pandemic, I think, is helping to do that. It's giving us a timeout. It's calling us to step back from the world a little bit. And I think that energy of pulling back and saying, okay, you know, first of all, I'm just going to limit what I do on social media. I'm going to limit how much I invest myself into, you know, what's out there, and equally invest in what's inside me. And that's a choice. That's a conscious shift. And when we start to do this, you'll immediately feel better. I mean, we all have. But what happens when we unplug from social media for a week? We're like, oh my gosh, I feel alive again. I feel like I'm living my own life, right? You know, and we're just getting sucked into that. So it's so important that we have intuition and presence and mindfulness. And I really like to emphasize this sort of culture of mindfulness and insightfulness, right? It's just about becoming still and present in the moment, and then becoming insightful and listening to that inner voice, and that inner calling, instead of being sucked into the hamster wheel of the daily grind. And it just takes our minds away from us. So really pulling back from all that and reconnecting is really a very powerful step in both our personal growth and the direction that we're going to steer our future.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the book, you talk about that there's four types of intuition. That kind of threw me, because I thought, isn't there just one? So share a little bit about what they are and how they work, what the differences are.
Yeah, and I want to clarify, there is just one intuition, but there's four pathways that we get it right. And people say that a lot to me. I get a lot, well, there's four types of intuition. Well, they're just sort of four dimensions of intuition, right? So like I was kind of talking about with, you know, earlier about how people have different ways of understanding intuition. So some people, if you walk up to someone on the street and say, hey, what is intuition to you? One person's going to say it's a gut feeling. One person's going to say, oh, sometimes I just know things. And other someone's going to say, oh, it's tied to my creativity and all of my, you know, inspiration. So everybody's going to tell you, I've done it. There's a million different answers to how people receive their intuition. So I really wanted to understand how that actually worked and why there were so many different manifestations of intuition. And I was able to sort of boil them down to four essential categories, which mirror the Jungian cognitive functions. So really, essentially, it's body, mind, heart, and spirit. These are the ways that we process information from the world. So our intuition is the same way. You know, intuition can speak to us through our bodies. We can have gut feelings. We can have cravings. We can have different things, ways that our body's talking to us. And with our minds, right? The thoughts, the knowings we have. Like if you just meet someone and you know something's off about them, even though they seem like they should be really cool, you know something's not, right? So those knowings that we have. And then there's the creative intuition, which is the intuition of our hearts. And that's how our passion draws us and what we're called to do in the world and change and transform. A lot of the stuff we've just been talking about. Not hearts as in like our emotions and our soulmates, but more like our hearts in terms of how we can get out there and serve and create and build a better world. And then ultimately the intuition of the spirit, which is what I call transcendental intuition, which is really where we kind of go to those boundaries and touch the meaning of life and the core of what it means to be human and those experiences and mysteries of the universe.
Now, kind of going a little different direction, but intuition in animals. I've worked with a lot of teenagers, and there are programs out there that do equine therapy. They also use dogs. And it's amazing the intuition that these animals have with, and young people in this particular situation, but I think across the board. In fact, one example that I have of my own is that my gardener hired a new person. And every time the gardeners would show up, you know, my dogs loved them. You know, they would go out and they'd kind of play with them and everything else. And this, he hired somebody new, and the dog started barking at him. The dog was just, and I was like, okay, I have to put him in the house, and didn't really think about it. And then the next time it was the same thing. So I talked to the gardener and I said, I need you to not use that person. I said, my dog senses something about this person that, you know, that they just don't belong. I can't explain it or anything else, but can you do this? And the gardener actually said, no. You know, he said, you know, no. He goes, that's, you know, it's, I think, you know, your dog has a problem, whatever, you know, and I, it's okay. But I'm telling you, if you send him out here again, I'm looking for a new gardener. And he did. He sent him out again. He came out with the crew. And so I got another gardener. And about a month later, I got a call from that gardener who apologized and said that that person has since been arrested for breaking into houses that they were gardening at. So this guy was actually casing my house, and my intuition didn't pick it up, but my dogs did.
What a great story. I love that story. And it's so great that you got that validation, because so many times when things like that happen, you know, good for you, first of all, for honoring your dog's intuition. Like, it was, your intuition was smart enough to honor your dog's intuition, right? At least if you didn't get it, right, you were smart enough to say, okay, that, like, there's something real going on and not dismiss it. But good for you for following that through, first of all. And it's how wonderful it was that you actually got that validation, because so often we don't. And then we kind of aren't sure if we were crazy, right? You're just like, oh, maybe I was crazy about that, or maybe I wasn't, and we never know. So it's so wonderful when we actually get that validation. So I'm glad he called you and told you, because animals do sense things. And anyone who has a pet knows it. I mean, my dog's sitting at the door before my husband gets home, like a half an hour before he shows up every time. There's no way, you know, he didn't hear his car coming. You know, it just, he knows he's coming home. There's a connection. Right. And so, you know, the dog had a connection with that guy, probably sensed his intentions, probably sensed that there was, you know, because dogs protect their territory. Right. Yeah. So he's sensing this guy is going to be coming in on his territory. And he's like, nope. So that was a wonderful practical example of why it's so important to do that. And I want to share an example from the book. My friend of mine, who I shared her story, she almost lost her life in a situation where her intuition was talking with her. And it's similar in terms of validation. So she was walking home one night. She was a barista, and she was walking home. It was like midnight. She was in Washington, D.C. in DuPont Circle area. Not, you know, nice part of town, you know, whatever. She's walking home, but she suddenly got a bad feeling. You know, she just had one of those feelings where she was like, didn't feel right. And she felt like, she got nervous and it was strange. She never usually felt that way. And there was a police car she saw up ahead, up where the restaurants were closing. And she just had this thought where, I should just go and just ask that cop for a ride home. You know, like, I feel weird. I should just go ask him. But then she talked herself out of it. She's like, that's crazy. I'm not going to do that. Right. She's like, I'm obviously crazy. So I'm just going to forget about it. I'm just going to keep walking. And then she starts to reinforce herself with more rational thoughts, like, I know kickboxing, I'm trained, you know, I'm going to be fine. If anything does happen, I'm strong, I'm tough. And then she's like, and the universe will protect me. She's like, I know the universe has my back, the universe will protect me, I'm going to be fine. Well, sure enough, a few minutes later, she notices a man walking behind her, and she turns down a side road, and eventually he attacks her. And very brutally attacks her. And lucky for her, a neighbor heard and was able to intervene before she lost her life. But talking with her, it was so important to hear what her takeaways from this experience, because she said, you know, Kim, she's like, I kept thinking that the universe would protect me, or the universe would protect me, but the universe was already trying to protect me by giving me that intuitive impression, right? So we don't even realize that that thought that we receive is our universe protecting you, right? Saying, get up there and get in that car, girl. Something's not right, right? But of course we're trained to like be rational and think like that doesn't make any sense. So we didn't follow it. And the other beautiful thing, point of this situation to remember is if she had gotten in that car, she never would have gotten that validation, you know, unless he attacked someone else and found out, but like she wouldn't have known. So that points to this fact that we have to take a chance on intuition. So it's really important that we understand what our intuition feels like. And that's why, you know, this book, Radical Intuition, it's not just like a reading book. It's a doing book. Take it from me. Go out there and do it yourself so you can learn what your own intuition feels like. So when you're walking down that street at midnight, or when that creepy dude is walking around your house and you have that feeling or you have that sense, you recognize it as intuition immediately, and then you can trust it and take those actions that will serve you well.
Yeah. And in a situation like that, one of the thoughts that came to mind to me, and I'm curious, you know, what your thoughts are on it, how much of that might also be this fact that we are, we're so concerned that somebody's going to judge us, that if she goes up to this officer, that he's going to judge her as being crazy or judge her as being weak. How much of that do you think is this mindset that's been placed on us that really isn't fair?
Absolutely. 100% is. Like, it's back to that conditioning, right? We're so concerned about what other people think about us, and we're not as concerned about what we think about ourselves. You know, that whole like self-love thing, you know, we focus our whole identity on how other people perceive us and the fears of non-acceptance and the fears of judgment. And that's what this whole idea of being true to yourself is all about. Be true to yourself. And it doesn't matter. Who cares what everybody thinks? At the end of the day, if you just live true to yourself and don't listen to those other voices, you're going to be so much happier and so much more fulfilled.
All right. Our guest is Kim Chesney. The book is Radical Intuition, A Revolutionary Guide to Using Your Inner Power. And we're going to take a break. But when we come back, Kim, I'm going to ask you, you know, what are some of the things that people can do right now to jumpstart their intuition? So for everybody, stay with us. We'll be right back listening to Answers for the Family.
Founded over 30 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, Westfield continually focuses. Our signature therapeutic transportation service helps to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely transported to specialized schools, programs, and treatment centers with unsurpassed experience and success. We are supported by our full-service licensed investigation agency that has legally, professionally, and compassionately located hundreds of runaways and teens. We are experienced and qualified to help, offering solutions which may include referrals to our international network of top professionals in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, psychiatry, and investigations. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services and West Shield Investigations are the best solutions when your family is facing a personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's 1-800-899-8585, or visit our website.
And we're back. We're speaking with Kim Chesney, and we're talking about radical intuition. So, Kim, okay, when we went to break, we talked about, okay, what can people start doing right now to jumpstart their intuition?
So the first thing I always tell people is, and this is really the foundation, the most important foundation of developing, listening, awakening your intuition wherever you're at, is to create more space in your life for it to speak to you. So the first thing we want to do, reiterating everything we've been saying today, is slow down, make some more white space on your calendar, schedule some time with yourself. Alone time is so important. Now, if you have had some intuitive experiences in your life, you're probably going to realize most of them came when you were by yourself, sort of zoning out, or in a place where your mind wasn't like running rat races. So in the shower, going for a walk, going for a run, meditating, doing yoga, all of these things we do with ourselves in the silence. So getting into the silence with ourselves is so important, because it's in that silence, that's where intuition speaks. So it's so important. So do what you love, whatever it is that you love with yourself, do more of that. and create more space. And then what you'll notice in that space, you're going to start getting ideas. Little things are going to start coming to you. And that's really the hallmark of a developing and awakening intuition. It's more of those thoughts, ideas, and feelings that we simply receive. Okay, so remembering that we don't make up intuition. We don't deduce intuition. We don't follow a rational train of thought there. We simply get it in an instant. So be very, very cognizant of any thought or feeling or sense that just suddenly pops into your head or your heart or you suddenly experience out of nowhere. Because that's how intuition comes. It seems to come out of nowhere because it's really coming from above, from a higher place of intelligence. So it's not something you work for. You're not going to just sit here and think about it, make a pros, cons list, and then your intuition's going to come. No, it'll just come. As soon as you open up space for it to come to you, it will. So paying attention for those little signs, those little moments where your intuition starts speaking to you. And on my website, I have a free book that answers those questions. It's 12 pages. You can go to kimchastney.com and download that now. And it really goes into detail about the whole little rituals that you can put into practice right now to just open up this space and then start working with it. So pay attention to it every day, honor it every day, work with it. It's your best friend.
That's great. So what I hear you saying is that the meditation that we do or whatever form that we may do it, that's just opening up the space for the intuition to come in. And then we have to be able to watch for it, be more observant for it. Do you have any particular exercises that can show us how to better recognize it?
Yeah, that's exactly how the process is. So yeah, so in the book, there's a ton of exercises in the book. And, you know, meditation is a great way to do that. And if you don't like to meditate, you know, you can do all those other things that I talked about earlier. It's really just about getting into that space where you're alone. And, you know, working with other people is really interesting too with intuition. You know, practicing with other people, you can share your insight with your friends and your family and start to see how that feels and kind of get into this process of using it 24/7. So, I mean, there's so many different practical workshops in the book and even stuff from journaling. Journaling's a wonderful way to just sort of let those intuitive energies flow through you. So really depending on, you know, what your goals are and where you're at in your life, there's a number of different ways that you can sort of open up to it to sort of facilitate that growth pathway.
How much better is it as far as that?
Oh, it's the best. Nature's the best. So if you're a nature person, I highly encourage spending more time in it. And I know for me, it's even if you don't get the intuitive insights while you're out there in nature, which you probably will get some if you're alone and you're opening up the space, but it just changes your energy level and that vibrational level, just attuning to life and the universe and getting away from that sort of dissonant hum of our grind that we're in mm-hmm. every day. And that just creates a wall for intuition. So getting out of the nature and what is it like Alan Alda says, going out into the wilderness of his intuition. Well, it's really sort of, it's sort of real in a way. Intuition's like the wilderness. It's that open space, that pure natural space that's beyond all the hubbub.
Well, we have some comments and questions that have come in. And again, great. I want to thank those that take the time to do this. I really appreciate it. This one reads, my 12-year-old son, who is in a mindfulness class. I just want to interject. I love the fact that there is a 12-year-old in a mindfulness
yes,
class.
Okay? Me too.
So whatever school this is, keep it up. So she's saying her son, told me that the COVID news on TV did not, and this is in quotes, feel honest to him. Because of his statement and partially to help him understand why I thought he might be wrong, I looked at both sides and the information I found shocked me, from the death toll numbers being overestimated to the WHO scientist, it says Dr. David Navarro, urging world leaders to stop using lockdowns, to the New York Times article that the NCR testing is 90% false positives. Because of overamplification, I now know that my son's intuition was right on. And then it's again, it goes out of the listening to any news without my quote, again, Oracle son weighing in. And this is from Brenda in New Mexico.
That is awesome, Brenda. Thanks for sharing that. That's actually a great story to share. And I mean, it's so true. Out of the mouths of babes, 100%. And first of all, yeah, kudos to you for having your son in a mindfulness program at such a young age. And, you know, I'd like to have some insightfulness programs out there for kids too, because one of the problems with our culture today is that we beat intuition out of these young people, right? And it happened to us. You know, we went to school and they taught us how to be so smart and you know, maybe through some art and music in there, but like nobody taught us to be intuitive. Nobody reinforced that. You know, it wasn't reinforced. So kudos to you for recognizing this and really understanding that, yeah, children are much more open to their intuition. In fact, they have to be closed down to it. You know, it's the other way that we're born open to our intuition and we're taught not to be intuitive. So all of this radical intuition is really going back full circle and reopening that part of ourselves that we knew when we were young and we were naturally connected with.
Yeah. And can we add to that can we please stop stifling children? You know, I think that's the other problem is that, yes, they have great intuition. And yet our training has now been, you know, no, you know, don't get too wrapped up in that, you know, and you know, go out and find the facts or something. And I think that's one of the things we need to stop stifling imagination and we need to stop stifling intuition. We need to embrace it and tell them how much we appreciate it. And I love the fact of what Brenda is doing, you know, that she has embraced her son and he's probably going to now believe it and use it much more because mom is accepting it. I think that's wonderful.
Exactly. They're going to believe in themselves if we believe in them, right? So it gets back to that. Instead of conditioning them out of it, encourage them to like grow and expand and follow their path. And creativity is so tied in with intuition, right? Bringing those creative ideas and that sense of imagination and wonder is so vital to keep that alive in young people.
Yeah. Our largest group of listenership, I'm told, is if there was one profession, it's teachers. Mm. So now I want to talk to you as teachers.
Great.
Please go out and get this book and share it with the kids. Read it with the kids. Get, you know, talk to the parents, get the parents to get it, you know, allow these kids to be able to get so excited over things like this and what it is they can do with themselves. There's too much stuff already out there that says you have to do whatever society is now dictating. That's not the case. Let them be able to do more of this. So any teachers, if you have any pull at all and you can make this happen, let's do it. Because if we're going to make a difference, we're going to have to start with that generation now and work forward.
Amen to that. And I am also really passionate about this. And I was actually part of a remake learning group here in Pittsburgh for several years where we worked with national leaders to rethink and reimagine learning and what that looks like from a creative and intuitive standpoint and how we can encourage young people to have more confidence in that sort of thinking and learning. So I'm so glad that you said that because it's so important to really start really from the ground up. And that's with the young people and that's with the next generations that are coming.
That is wonderful. Now, the other thing that we hear a lot is the phrase women's intuition. but yet it seems like, I mean, many of intuition's biggest champions have been, you mentioned Steve Jobs, but also, you know, Einstein or Stephen Hawking or Picasso. Mm-hmm. Does gender really make a difference for intuitive ability, or is that just sort of become an old wives' tale?
Yeah, I think it's, and I'm not sure the root of that. We've all heard that phrase. And it's definitely an old wives' tale. We all have intuition, regardless of our gender, regardless of anything, every human being, we all have it. And I think, you know, it really sort of came to align with women because the female energy is more receptive. Like, you know, the intuitive energy is receptive. It's not like we go out and think about our intuition. We just receive our intuition, right? So it definitely has a more receptive feel to it. So in my mind, I think that's how that whole sort of stereotype got started because women just were naturally more intuitive if they were sensitive people, but not all women is naturally more intuitive, just like not all men aren't intuitive. So we can't put labels on it like that, but it's a great point to talk about because it's so important to overcome that sort of stereotype because it's not just for women. It's some of the most important, I mean, not important, some of the big, most, the biggest voices in intuition have been men. So yeah, so it's really it's about a balancing of all of that yin and yang, and there's a little something for everybody.
I think it brings up that question in so many things like this is how much of it is nature and how much of it is nurture? How much of it is men who were told your job is to go out, work hard for 10 or 12 hours and focus on that? And women were told, you know, go home, take care of the kids and things like that. And so it would be more acceptable if they were to be more intuitive or more sensitive, whereas men were told, no, sensitive isn't manly. And so talking about those things may not have been looked upon in a positive way. So that may be how we got to that. But again, that's why I wanted to throw it out there. How much of it's nature? How much of it's nurture? I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's great. I think it is conditioned. I think even if a lot of men had intuitive feelings, they probably wouldn't talk about them, right? It's one of those things where it wasn't accepted. So it, you know, only it was accepted for women to talk about it. But yeah, I think that's a great point.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have another comment that has come in. This one reads, I love the title and content of your book. I ordered it online and I'm more than halfway through it. And there is something about the words revolution, companion with intuition that lift the heart and frees me from fear. I would love to have my friends move away from political parties and mainstream dogma into the zone where we can make our decisions from that intuitive heart place, as you say, to create a new era of consciousness. And we have a lot of decisions to make over the next year or two. And I'm so grateful to have this book to recommend to my friends and family. And this is from Julia in Sacramento.
Julia, thank you so much. Wow, that's high praise. And I love to hear people getting this sort of this mismatch of intuition and revolution and realizing how when you put it together, it sort of does add up to something magical and unexpected. So I am so happy and grateful to hear. And thank you so much for sharing those words with me.
And you can share that with whoever it was that was helping you choose the name of the book. And you can go, hey, they get it.
That's right. We did it. That's right. That was my publisher. So yeah. So I'll definitely share the feedback. Well, because we got mixed feelings. So some people were like, oh, I'm not sure about that. And other people are like, I totally love it. So we're going with it. And I'm so happy with it too, because I think it just really seals that sort of revolutionary aspect of intuition.
Yeah. And I think with everything that's going on, it really resonates now probably more than ever. Yes. And I'm sure when you were doing this, it was before all this stuff started happening, but maybe it was just your intuition.
It was.
There you go. See,
you know, and it's so funny now that we're talking about this, because it was kind of hitting me, because I started this intuition thing was in my brain, like for the last 10 years, the intuition revolution, you know, I kept this intuition. I've been like, for some reason, just harping on it and harping on it. And it just, I wouldn't let me go. And then I was trying to figure out the name of the book when I was pitching it. And the name Radical Intuition was the first thing that came. And I was like, nah, I don't know about that. And then my mind was like editing it out and stuff like that. So, I wasn't practicing what I preached, you know, I was trying to do something else. But it's so funny that all of this happened, like probably like a year ago, year and a half ago, before we knew any of this stuff that was happening. And sure enough, this book comes out and it launches on Election Day. And it is 100% tied into the spirit of this moment and the change that we're going through. And it's so beautiful for me to see how that 10-year journey cultivated in this very poignant moment with this title.
And I'm glancing the clock. We have about 8 minutes or so. But what I wanted to have you talk a little bit about the website, because I love the fact that there are so many tools there. And I want this show to be something to where people have a place to go. They can get it. And in so many things, people get excited about something, but then it kind of dies out. And by having the website with all the tools that you have, share a little bit about what they're going to find when they go there.
Yeah. So it's really important to me first to give a lot of stuff away for free, because I just really want people to know about this. You know, that for me, it's about raising awareness. It's about showing people this natural gift that we've all been given. So if you go to the website, the first thing you're going to find is my free Wake Up Your Intuition guide. It's a 12-page guide to get started. It really kind of has sort of the basics of radical intuition, just getting started with it. You can, you know, if you order the book and you want to get started, it's a great place to start. Or if you just want to start there, that's wonderful. We also have a free 10-day Wake Up Your Intuition event that you can sign up for. It's ongoing. We bring together people from all around the world, not your usual intuition subjects. We have game designers, Hollywood producers, rock stars, you name it. We have some really big names, people talking about intuition and how it was the secret to their success and how to use intuition in these many different ways in our own lives to really heal, to be more creative, to build businesses, to be better parents, to all of the different things that we can use our intuition for. So I highly recommend people checking out those two things. And then if you're really into it and you're feeling intuition and you feel the call to really go deeper into it, my school Intuition Lab offers online courses and live workshops with me. We can do our intuition together. It's a lot of fun.
So, and again, so if you didn't get that earlier, it is www.kimchesney.com. That's C-H-E-S-T-N-E-Y.com. Now, if you're diving out there, don't try to write this down. Don't try to text it into your phone or anything like that. You can also go to the Answers for the Family website. We will make sure that it's all there for you to be able to pull up and be able to go to it. So, Kim, one of the things that I do periodically on the show, and we call it the magic wand. And I always tell myself I'm going to do this, and I forget, but I want to send a wand ahead of time so that when I go like this, people see the hand come out and they see your hand grab it.
Awesome.
So sooner or later, I'll get that down. But the question that I ask is that if I handed you a magic wand and you could make one change as it relates to, you know, this subject matter, what would you do with this magic wand so that it would help as many people as possible?
Yeah, I'll take that wand and I'll tell you that without a doubt, I would wave it in all people so that it was easier for us to understand it, so that we had that deeper connection. And I think that's where we're going. That's where, as a society and humanity, that is where we're going to end up. But really just to open up that pathway, to allow all of us to hear that strong inner voice, would make such a change in the world.
Now, another thought is that I get people that will ask me in regards to, if I'm talking about subjects like this, where there isn't a whole lot of science, and I can tell by who I'm talking to based on the questions that they ask me. And so their question would be, what's the science behind this?
Oh, well, I have a lot of answers to that. So in the book, I have a whole chapter on quantum physics, basically. And yes. You know, intuition is what I call quantum thinking. We haven't put together all the dots yet, but as time goes on, more and more of us are starting to understand that, you know, regular old thinking, I say, is like Newtonian physics. You know, it's cause and effect, right? Just like our reality. Whereas intuition is like quantum thinking, where we can go into these magical places and experience things, and instantly you can go through a wormhole and go from the question to the answer. So intuition operates more like quantum physics. So understanding quantum physics and understanding all of the things you talk about, entanglement and all the different particles are connected. There's so many things happening in physics that line up with intuition. So for me, it's really only a matter of time, I think, until we really put these together in a scientific way. And I'm not a scientist or a physicist, so I'm not going to pretend to know that. But I can tell you from the things that I have read and the people that I have talked with who are really smart, understand that intuition is a really vital part of scientific discovery, and it's going to be part of the conversation moving forward.
All right. We have an instant message coming in, and this one reads, I have made bad relationship choices in the past. My mother has told me that I should use my intuition. I thought that I was using my intuition. What am I doing wrong?
Oh, that is a great question. Honestly, that's probably something a lot of us have wrestled with. And it's a fine line. See, listen, people always say, follow your heart. That's the problem. They say, follow your heart. And we think we're saying, follow your intuition, right? So we want to be really careful because there is a fine line between our emotional feelings and our intuition, right? Both things move us. Our intuition calls us and moves us to be better and grow and change, right? But our feelings don't always have our best interest in mind. They can be related to our ego. They can be fear-based. They can be need-based, right? So if you're asking yourself, am I with someone because I need something from them, or I have some sort of compulsion to be with them, then that's not your intuition, right? Your intuition comes, remember, from that still, quiet place of knowing. So it will tell you, you know, if you're aligned with someone, you'll feel that in the quiet of your being. if you're thinking about something and you're full of emotion and you're having a lot of discord about it, then that's all sort of dissonance that's going to repel your intuition. So you want to get back, step back from that place of emotion and attachment and kind of go into those silences and see what your intuition is really telling you when you detach yourself from it. You don't have any fears and you don't have any hopes or requirements attached to the situation. So it's really about stepping back to that objective place and listening to that silence within you.
So how did we get the term my gut? When somebody says, well, my gut feeling is, you know, is that really our intuition? And how did we get around to thinking that it's here? I think because you just mentioned about, you know, when people say, oh, my heart says, mm-hmm. And then, you know, and I think more men will say, well, my gut intuition is, or my gut feeling is.
Right. And see, that gets back to those different types of intuition where somebody will be like, oh, my heart's telling me this, or oh, my gut's telling me this. Like I have this knowing, right? So our intuition is talking to us in all these different ways. And, you know, I think the gut feeling is really like a type of the physical intuition where, you know, you get a feeling in your gut, right? You just have like a sense or a feeling, and that's part how our body's talking to us. And through the chemical reactions that come from these intuitive impressions. So it's a real thing to listen to your gut. It's a real thing to listen to your heart, or what I call your higher heart, right? We don't want to listen to that lower heart that's need-based or ego-based, but listening to our higher heart and that calling. And the gut feelings is when you know and you sense, you can sense a dissonance when something's not right, or you can sense alignment when something is right. So yeah, it's really important to pay attention to all of those different ways your intuition talks to you.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree more. And I do things now that people refer to that might be considered biohacking. And one of the things that we learn right away is the gut-brain connection. Mm-hmm. Okay, there is a gut-brain connection, and our, you know, the biology going on in our gut is being affected by and affecting our brain. So that makes perfect sense to me.
Yep, absolutely.
All right. Well, Kim, this has been incredible. I love it. And again, can you get the website again for anybody that's just tuning in?
Yep. You can check out everything. You can get the book anywhere, online, you name it, Walmart, Kmart, well, Target, anywhere online. And you can go to my website, Kim Chesney with a T, KimChesney.com, and get all kind of free stuff and find out more.
Well, thank you so much. And I just want to honor you for taking your time, not only to come on the show, but for putting this book out there, because I think anything right now that's shifting all of us towards using our intuition, doing more mindfulness, is just really making a positive difference in the world. And that's what this show is about.
Well, thanks so much for having me. This is a really fun conversation. And thanks for all the great questions.
You're very welcome. And for everybody out there, please tune in next Monday for our interview with international relationship expert John Gray. In this interview, we discuss his book, Children Are From Heaven. And he will share with us, all of us, the most important part of positive parenting skills for raising cooperative, confident, and compassionate children. And please visit our archives of past interviews at answersforthefamily.com, or you can subscribe to the show through iTunes, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, YouTube, Spreaker, Instagram, and SoundCloud. And if you like what you hear or see, please leave us a review. It will help us to reach more people, and I want you to know that I greatly appreciate it. The next time you're on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, please remember to stop by our page, check out some of our latest posts, and if you like them, please like us and continue to spread the word. So for everybody out there, be good human beings and be with us again next week on Answers for the Family.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.